Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying Icon 31. I'm glad you came to my panel, Sci-Fi Stars and Their Gun Preference. So I'm just going to get started. I'm going to get the ball rolling. They all like Spearmint, except, of course, for Andrew Robinson from Deep Space Nine, who played Garak. He likes bubblegum. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. What kind of gum does Edward James Olmos prefer?
Spearmint.
I have a question.
Yes?
When Nathan Fillion was playing Captain Malcolm Reynolds on Firefly, what kind of gum did he prefer?
Spearmint.
Ooh, me!
Yes.
Scott Bakula was on two different sci-fi shows, so what kind of gum did he chew?
Does anybody else have a question?
Welcome to Rack, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 21 of Ragnarok, Icon 31, or Migratory Patterns of the Local Nerd.
They are very fascinating patterns.
Yeah, I have to say, they're beautiful creatures, too. I loved watching them.
All the nerds flocked to Icon 31, and Icon, of course, stands for International Congress for Endovascular Specialists. That's what we covered this week, right, guys?
I'm sorry, Ed, what was that second word you said there?
And Congress.
No, it sounded like you said Congress.
Oh, International Congress.
Congress
for Endovascular Specialists. Yes, that was that's what we covered this week, right, guys?
Yep.
I didn't.
What? You didn't?
I did not.
Where were you?
I was at Stony Brook, covering Icon.
I guess we could talk about that too. That's probably more topical.
I mean, yeah, we did do that one too.
It's more.
All right, so we're gonna talk about Icon 31.
Wait a second. Wait, let me get rid of all my notes I have here about endocrinitis.
There was that really awesome.
There we go.
Panel on embolisms.
That was my favorite. Yeah, that was.
What is endocrinitis?
I don't know. I just got rid of all my notes.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
So you learned nothing from your convention.
I learned. I just wrote it all down.
Alex kept the notes in his mind, and he just deleted it all from his
Alex makes space in his brain every now and again.
Yeah. I have to reformat my brain every once in a while.
You really should get a bigger hard drive, Alex.
I would, but they're getting a little pricey.
So, what we're actually going to cover then, we're going to talk about a sci-fi convention. It's a sci-fi nerd convention on Long Island. It takes place at Stony Brook University. It's a bit smaller than Comic-Con, and we all went. It was, the dates were March 29th, 30th, and April 1st.
Why don't we do our roundtable introduction before we get into that?
We should not introduce ourselves.
Also, Ed, there are 31 days in March.
All right, so we'll do that part again.
No.
That's standing.
I'm Ed.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ar.
And Eric is still on his honeymoon with the butt-loving aliens.
Yeah, I think they're going to be back soon, though.
They are loving his butt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I heard he sent me an email and a picture from Space Niagara Falls. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah. So it was March 30th, 31st, and April 1st, because I know days. So basically, it started on Friday and went from Saturday to Sunday.
You just said that.
As most weekends do.
For our listeners, you have short-term memory loss.
For those of you who might not be familiar with the concept of March 30th, 31st, and April 1st, They're three sequential days.
What about all our listeners from pre-calendar history?
I don't know.
Well, then the dates themselves wouldn't matter. The fact that you said it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday also wouldn't matter to them.
You're right. Touche. So we went all 3 days. So we were going to do a little bit of a breakdown of what we thought. So I think we're going to...
Break it down.
Is that correct?
Yeah, we should come up with a cool breakdown sound effect.
Break it down.
And never use it.
We're not cool enough to come up with a sound effect like that.
Hey, we came up with that awesome theme song we never used.
We did. We used it in the Comic-Con episode, and I was going to use it again at the end of this episode.
So we get to listen to it again. It's going to be the background music.
Yeah.
That's good music.
Our theme song is going to crop up again, ladies and gentlemen.
Ragnarok.
So, Alex, why don't you take it away and tell us a little bit about your favorite things about Icon.
I would be more than happy to take these flailing reins away from you, Ed. You know, I have to start out by saying that I did think that Icon was a little less exciting than Comic-Con, but I still enjoyed it a lot. And it's hard to compare the two, and I think you guys would agree that... Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both conventions, but it's they're just so different. It's like comparing a steak to a hamburger. They're both beef, but they're very different.
Well, they're held by different people for different reasons.
Right.
Comic-Con, I think, is more of an industry convention where, you know, people who are already established in, you know, whatever comics, movies, they get together to show off, you know, what they're doing and answer questions about their professional activities. And Icon, I feel, is more, you know, by the fans for the fans. You know, they you don't get as many big names. Obviously, you don't get nearly as many people.
Yeah.
But it's still a bunch of people getting together to celebrate what they love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I mean, Comic-Con had big announcements. You know, they had the Avengers trailer, and they had Mass Effect, the demo for Mass Effect 3, and all these. They had these big things, but Icon was just. More, I think Icon's more about the appreciation than it is about selling stuff, and it is about, like, news and...
Yeah. There's also a lot about furries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, to a degree, that's sort of the point we're making, is it's, I mean, say what you want about furries, but it's...
They're weird.
It's part of that culture, and this was, they were a seminar, they were just sort of talking about what it was like. Basically, Icon, I felt, was like... All of the smaller panels at Comic-Con was all of Icon.
Yeah, I could see that.
But even the smallest panel at Comic-Con was bigger than anything at Icon.
No, the panel I went to about Star Trek was pretty small at Comic-Con.
Icon also is a lot more, you know, laid back. They're less stringent about who they let do a panel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they are, right, Meyer?
Yes, they are.
So
the lines.
Maybe we'll get to tell that story later.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to start with Friday. And Friday was a much shorter day because it only began at like 6 and went till about 10. But I think my favorite thing, and I shared this one with Ed, was getting to see Nana Visitor's panel on Friday. She was one of, I think what illustrates the difference between Icon and Comic-Con is that Nana Visitor, who played Kira on Star Trek DS9, she was also the Cancer Lady in Battlestar Galactica, and on Torchwood Miracle Day, she was Jack's gay lover's daughter or granddaughter or whatever.
Yeah.
She was in it for like 20 seconds. But she was one of the highlights, and she couldn't even fill a college lecture hall at Stony Brook. It was like half full.
Mm-hmm.
Meyer, Ed, and I walked in like 10, 15 minutes late because there was nothing else going on. And we got seats like 10 feet away from her.
We went to a panel that didn't happen.
Oh, that's right. We went to the panel that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, they're not visitors talking just down the hall. Why don't we go there?
Yeah.
But it was actually really cool to see her talk. And it was a little weird for me because I've been watching DS9 on Netflix. So just the day before we went to see her, I was watching her on TV and then she was sitting like 20 feet away from me, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But she definitely had some, you know, interesting stories about her time on the show. And I didn't realize that she married Alexander Siddig, who played Dr. Julian Bashir. And she was talking about him. And I know I did get a few DS9 spoilers, but it was all right.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, so that was my favorite thing about Friday. What about you, Ed?
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, the Friday was, like you said, a shorter day, so there wasn't as much... I didn't like Lollipop Guy, Meyer. He was my least favorite part of Friday. There was a guy standing up against the wall holding a lollipop and just staring at it.
He's so creepy.
And he creeped the fuck out of Meyer and I. And we couldn't stop thinking about him all weekend.
You couldn't stop talking about him either.
Yeah.
It's true.
Because I thought he was around any corner just
standing there, licking it. And he wasn't even
just
licking
holding
the
lollipop.
Just staring at it.
Yeah.
But I mean, in general, I would say my favorite thing about Icon in general was the shorter lines. And the guests were so much easier to approach. You know, later on you'll hear a very exciting interview that I did with one of the guests. And
we ran into Nana Visitor in the hall outside.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she was Nana Visitor and Nikki Klein and the hot one who plays Aunt Beru, whose name I don't remember. We're just sort of walking around on the dealer floor, hanging out. When Paul McGann did a panel, he signed autographs after the panel. Now, at Comic-Con, you would never have anything like that.
Yeah.
You know? So that was exciting to me, was that the guests were so much easier to approach, and there were virtually no lines.
Yeah.
But on Friday, definitely, it was the Nana Visitor panel, because I thought she was very personal, very interesting, and just such an entertaining speaker. She was a really bright person. I don't mean just intelligent-wise. I mean, like, she had a very bright energy to her.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I would find it difficult to have a conversation with her and be in a bad mood.
Mm.
So I enjoyed what she... Because DS9 is one of my favorite... is my favorite Trek. I know Alex is getting into it now.
Yeah, it's good.
And you might be able to tell that I'm a big fan of DS9 by some of the characters I picked for the top 10 Trekkies.
Top 5. But what would you know? You're writing it.
Right. So, yeah, like, all told, that was definitely my favorite part of Friday.
All right. I guess that leads us to me.
Unfortunately.
My favorite part of Friday was I went to a meetup held by the Bronies New York City meetup group. It was a lot of fun. They had blind bag giveaways where they, you know, threw plastic toys into an audience full of screaming adults.
My favorite part of Friday was that I wasn't there.
I agree.
It was rated M for mature. So that people could swear and not feel guilty about swearing around little children.
Really?
Yes.
Ryan, I'm reading your notes right now, and my eyes just went to the word stuffed Pinkie Pie, and that's not right.
Really? Because my eyes went to the words the main six.
The main six.
Spelled M-A-N-E.
Yes, the horse puns.
Yes.
Bow before the pain of the horse puns.
It hurt so much.
Anyway, they had a blind bag giveaway. They had art pieces on display, and they were conducting a fundraiser to send the Traveling Pony Museum to Everfreecon in Seattle. They were planning to take their collection, which includes a bound replica of the book that Twilight reads in the pilot episode, and a giant stuffed Pinkie Pie, to a children's hospital in Seattle. And a few of the voice actresses from the show are actually accompanying them, which I thought was really cool.
That's cool for kids in the hospital.
Yeah. So they were selling like prints and pins and stuff. So I bought a print of the main six in their Discorded state with Discord giving a big thumbs up. I thought it was really cool.
Is Discord the one played by John Delancey?
Yes. Discord is Q Pony style. And I forget. I think it was Lauren Faust, the creator of the show, who came up with Discord, and she said that she had been watching a bunch of Star Trek, and she wanted to do a character based on Q, and they ended up just getting John Delancey to do it.
Man,
what else is he doing?
I'm all the way in Brooklyn, and I can feel the disdain radiating off of Alex.
Yeah, it just got a few degrees warmer in this room right now.
Palpable. Meyer's just biting his tongue completely.
Yeah. Oh,
is he bleeding?
Yes.
Is Meyer bleeding from the mouth?
He is actually a little bit.
Meyer, you want a tissue?
Get you a napkin there. I should also mention that they had a couple of different meetups throughout the weekend. On Saturday, they had a screening of Ponyville Confidential, which was the episode that aired that Saturday afternoon. And it's always fun when you get a bunch of bronies together to watch an episode, because, you know, there's just a whole bunch of people having fun.
Speaking of ponies, I'd just like to take this moment to give a big fuck you to Twizzle.
Yeah, fuck you, Twizzle.
We get to Twizzle at the end of the show.
You brought up ponies, and it made me think about how awful he was.
We'll save our Twizzle abuse for the end of the show. Eric keeps telling me that Twizzle wants to call up, but he hasn't done so yet. So, And they even, getting back to the Brony meetup, they passed around a Luna plush, and people hugged it. And I did not get to hug it, and that was very upsetting for me. Cause
did
Luna,
you cry?
Luna is best pony.
Did you cry, Ryan?
I did not cry. But yeah, it was a fun time. We got to hear all about the, well, for the three of us in the room who were paying attention, we got to hear about the meetup groups that are forming all around the country. I have to say that was the one negative side of the Brony meetup that I went to, which is that all of the people in that room, if you picture like the worst kind of ADD kids that you knew in elementary school, picture 40 of those people in a room while someone is trying to speak and conduct a panel.
Speaking of people doing annoying things while trying to speak, Ed, did you seriously forget to shut off your fucking phone?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
I'm leaving this in the show, Ed, because this will shame you into never doing this again.
All right. So,
I just turned it off. Sorry.
Speaking of things,
Ryan,
that aren't ponies.
Oh, good.
Meyer, please, talk about something that isn't ponies.
My brother should.
I know that Alex and Meyer were secretly hoping that all the pony panels were just a lure for bronies, and then they were going to lock the doors and start filling the room with poison gas.
My brain just shut off when Ryan said he got sad when he couldn't hug a whatever pony plushie. Oh my god. Well,
put it out of your mind, Meyer. Talk about something else.
All right, well, when I was deciding my favorite things for Icon, I don't know. For some reason, nothing really stood out to me as a favorite, but it doesn't mean I didn't enjoy anything in Icon. It just, I don't know, it's hard for me to say my favorite things.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, definitely.
Other than Saturday, I was kind of like, well,
yeah,
what did I really enjoy in these days?
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess it's just some share some thoughts for Friday.
Please do.
We saw a musician named Mark Gunn.
Yep.
And I enjoyed his songs.
Whose music will be featured on this episode?
I especially liked his bedtime lullaby about the monsters.
Don't! We're gonna play it.
Okay, well, I like that.
We're gonna sing you guys to sleep, or the Keltfather will sing you to sleep. Just, I'm gonna take this opportunity because you mentioned him, Meyer, to ask our listeners to check him out at Mark Gunn, www.markgunn.com. That's MarcGunn.com.
Yeah, I'll post the link in the show notes so that people can.
Excellent.
And I'll say markgunn.com. but with my deep baritone, and visit markgunn.com.
Ooh.
There you go.
And then, Alex and Ed Singh, I like the Nana visitors Q&A.
Yeah.
I'm not a Trekkie, but I really enjoyed the Q&A. She was very genuine and, mm-hmm. Genuinely like, a nice person. You could see that.
Yeah.
I think my favorite bit was the story that guy told about the two show, the other show, what was it? He said he watched Matlock that she was on.
Yeah, I think it was Matlock. And she was acting with a bit character from DS9 and didn't realize it was him.
Yeah, and she had killed... Didn't she kill him? He was her, like, played her husband, and she killed him on Matlock. And she made this amazing face with her eyes.
I also enjoyed...
Wouldn't she make a face with her face?
It was really mostly eyes, like...
That would be a look.
No, but it was a face.
Her mouth was a gape, too. That's a whole face thing.
No, her mouth was pursed. I remember the look very specifically.
All right, well, moving on.
Well,
past the semantic voice.
The one part I didn't like.
Meyer, tiebreaker. Was it pursed lips or a gaped mouth?
I think it was a gaped mouth.
There you go.
But, however, I would just say there was one part of the Q&A I didn't like, and it was like that one. There was a guy at the end of the Q&A goes... Because none of our visitors brought up how her son is in the Marines and he was overseas. And the guy goes, I just want to take his time and say, tell your son thank you for all of us. And I was like, that show up, that bastard.
Yeah, he showed
we're
up.
All like, I think I personally was like, ah, I should have said that.
He showed up everybody in the room.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
nobody's going to top that.
It was a cool thing to say.
No, yeah. That was
it made us all look bad.
I was like, that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my things of Friday.
Yeah, that was pretty much Friday.
Friday was a short day.
Yeah.
Saturday.
I know Ryan and we might as well go at the same time because we both had the same thing on Saturday, and that was eclipse phase.
Oh my God, so much eclipse phase.
See, Ryan and I went on Friday. Okay, we looked at the schedule because they have gaming at Icon, which is another thing they don't have at Comic-Con. They have a whole room where they just have games running.
Well, they had a little bit of it at Comic-Con, but nothing was really running that I wanted to play.
Oh, okay. So we went. They were supposed to be running eclipse phase on Sunday. So Ryan and I went Friday as soon as we got there just to make sure, see if we could sign up. And it's a good thing we went because we found out they canceled the Sunday game, but they put in a new game on Saturday that was supposed to go from 10 to 2. So we signed up for that. So Saturday morning, first thing Ryan and I did, we went to the gaming room, and we just pretty much stayed there all day. I think it was, we left at, 5:30?
Yeah, because there ended up being a second game after the first one that we went to.
Which was awesome.
Oh, it was so good. It was the first time that either of us played Eclipse Phase or participated in a con game.
Yeah.
I thought it was entertaining as hell. Game one, the player characters, we found ourselves trapped inside flats, which are completely unmodified morphs.
Which are regular humans.
With none of the advantages that Eclipse Phase characters usually enjoy. You know, none of the awesome gear or futuristic tech.
No plasma rifles.
And most importantly, no cortical stack. So if we die, we were dead permanently.
Yep.
Dead forever.
Stone fucking dead.
So we had to fight as the caveman team in this weird kind of death match.
Yeah.
They gave us clubs and spears and rudimentary food and shelter, but we were pretty much just fighting off a whole bunch of people sleeved in these horrific predator morphs.
I killed a cat.
Yeah.
That almost got killed by a giant python.
I forget which one I helped to kill. I think it was the python.
Yeah.
That I killed. Anyway, in the second game was a published scenario called Ego Hunter, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I feel like Ed would appreciate this game.
Yeah. That was the scenario.
Yeah. All four players were instances of the same scientist who are Beta Forks, returning from a mission off-world, only to find that their alpha went insane and was accused of a murder while they were away. So it was so basically they're digital copies of this one woman's mind. Everybody plays the same character, who come back to reintegrate, only to find that they've been accused of this murder. So they have to clear themselves of this murder and investigate, what happened what the circumstances were.
I don't want to spoil the end, though, because the end game... I mean, we didn't get to finish that one.
Yeah,
we really played a game and a half, but the game master explained what was going to happen.
Yeah, because
awesome story.
He had to leave.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of that game was that it was so fucking slapstick, because none of us were equipped to handle the combat that happened.
No. I think two of us... We were in a hotel room, and all of a sudden, Triad Enforcers broke down the door. So out of the four of us, two of them tried to climb out the window, and both wound up falling and just breaking their legs on the ground.
Right.
They're on, the third floor.
And then my favorite part was that they looked at us, and they're like, well, aren't you going to jump out the window too? And I said, well, I'm in a case morph, so I'm basically C-3PO. And C-3PO is not known for his climbing ability. If anything, I'm just going to fall off of the balcony.
Yeah.
I always thought C-3PO was the badass of Star Wars, personally.
Well, you're a moron.
Speaking of Ed being a moron, what was your favorite part of Saturday, Ed?
My favorite Saturday panel was the Who Shot First panel. I think, Meyer, this was yours too, right?
It was my favorite.
It was really cool. I don't remember the name of the criminologist. She was a forensic psychologist or something like that. It was her and Paul Blake, who's the gentleman who played Greedo in the movie. Star Wars, for those of you who are not aware of the movie I'm referring to.
New Hope.
A New Hope. Han Solo and Greedo, who shot first. But basically, the criminologist, she did a sort of a frame-by-frame breakdown of the cantina scene, particularly the scene where Han and Greedo are headed to the table, and sort of looked at it from the point of view of a criminal psychologist and said, you know, well, what was Han's body language? And she determined that his body language was relaxed and not defensive, and that he was leading Greedo to the table, and he had hidden actions, and and basically all of her conclusions led her to the point that Han was always intending to kill Greedo, which I thought was kind of a cool conclusion.
I thought it was a cop-out because she didn't answer the question, who shot first? She just said, oh, it didn't matter.
Like, yeah, no, I agree with you there. It was a cop-out. Like, she should have just made the conclusion that Han shot first, but, you know. I still thought it was a cool, like, breakdown.
No, I thought it was a cool breakdown, too.
Yeah, I thought it was evidence that Han shot first.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Regardless of what anyone says, what George Lucas says, that's the way that Harrison Ford played it. If that's what the body language said on camera,
and you know there was some discussion back and forth, and basically sort of the conclusion that at least what I took away from it was that when George Lucas made the movie, George Lucas says that Greedo always shot first, and that it was just that they couldn't.
George Lucas also created Jar Jar Binks.
I don't buy it. What I think happened is that when he made A New Hope, when he made Star Wars way back when, he was a different director. He didn't have grandchildren, he didn't have children. I don't know if he had children, but he didn't have grandchildren. So he wasn't making it for kids. He was just making a movie. And now his entire sort of view of Star Wars is much more geared towards kids.
Because kids buy toys, and toys make money.
Right.
Yeah, but also, it's not a bad thing that if Han shot first, it's not like Greedo was a good guy, even as a kid. I was like, well, Greedo was a bad guy. You know, he was gonna try to, he was gonna kill Han Solo.
I definitely agree with you. I think that, again, we're looking at more as viewers and as nerds and as appreciators of them. We're not looking at it as a grandparent.
No,
I'm bringing up
the viewpoint of a kid. When I watched, I was a kid, and when
right, but that's the viewpoint of a kid, not the viewpoint of a grandfather.
Well, I think one of the other reasons he did it is that he wanted to market Han Solo as one of the heroes.
Right.
And I think we could all agree that he is one of the heroes of Star Wars.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
and
I
heroes
think
don't
lot,
shoot first.
I think there's a lot of reasons he did it. I mean, I think one of the things that we nerds have to face is that Star Wars was made for us, but it's not being made for us anymore.
Mm.
You know, the franchise...
That's not... I mean, Clone Wars, the TV show, is a good show still.
But it's still... Like, we may like it, but it's not being made for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well,
like, Star Wars doesn't... The old Star Wars belongs to us. It's not being made for us anymore. That's what I took away from it.
Just like My Little Pony is being made for little girls, but it's been co-opted by creepy guys who really shouldn't be watching a show like that.
Which brings up a funny story at the Who Shot First panel.
Oh, yeah.
This kid raises his hand, and you know, he calls and he goes, and he asks Paul Blake a question. He goes, excuse me, I was wondering, have you ever watched My Little Pony? And Paul Blake has got kind of confused, but he's like, yes, I have six children, and they've watched it. He goes, no, what about the new My Little Pony show? He goes, no, I'm not aware of that. He goes, never mind then. Like, really sad. And I was like, what the fuck? Did this little kid want to ask Paul Blake about My Little Pony? What does Greedo have anything connection to My Little Pony?
He wanted to find out if Greedo was a brony.
Well, people have been fishing for famous bronies.
Yeah.
Pretty much any time something happens where, you know, someone famous might be a brony, it's like instant front page news on Equestria Daily. Because they apparently want that validation.
Well, you know what?
Well, this, yeah.
Greedo never shoots first, but in case of ponies, he always shoots first.
Well,
it just sort of brought the panel to a screeching, awkward halt.
Yeah.
Because it had nothing to do... Like, we were all having this conversation about, well, why did George Lucas make his decision? You know, where is Star Wars now? You know, how do you feel? Who shot first? And then this kid sort of derailed the whole thing.
And it kind of stopped me from saying, what the fuck are you doing?
I did. I did. I had to hold Meyer back.
I was like, what the fuck?
I'm not surprised.
And that person is now the recipient of loads and loads of nerd shame.
Good.
Nerd
shame. Keep it upon him, nerds.
But I have to say, my favorite part of this panel was the conclusion that Paul Blake came to, and I actually got a little bit more inside information on Sunday from him.
Yeah, why don't you let him tell us, Ed?
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys went straight to the source, as it were.
So, for the official verdict on who shot first, why don't we get it straight from the horse's mouth?
Or the fly's mouth, in this case.
Or alien's mouth.
The Rodian's mouth.
Well, it was a giant, like, fly. Yeah.
No,
He looked kind of like a fly. He had those big bug eyes and the little...
I don't know. He had the little... Everyone knows
that. Well, if you guys were in the same room as me, you would have seen what I did, but you weren't. And our listeners aren't in the same room as us anyway, so...
Yeah, so that was completely useless, Ed, but thanks for pointing that out.
Let's get it straight from the Rodian's mouth.
All right, we'll be right back after this little interview with Paul Blake.
I am really excited about this, guys. I am sitting... let's just put it out there, with Greedo himself, with Mr. Paul Blake. Our listeners are going to be very excited to finally hear Greedo's real voice. Can you say hello to our fans?
Yes, hello. Hello, fans. Hello, everybody. It's good to be here.
Well, I really thank you for your time, and I just wanted to say I was at your panel yesterday, and I was very excited, and I think our fans would like to hear the determination that you made at your panel yesterday as to who shot first?
Well, it's the burning question of the moment, who shot first. It was pretty burning for Greedo at the time, I have to say. I'm still taking the shrapnel from my stomach, but as far as I can remember, and after many hours and sessions at Assassin College, where Greedo unfortunately did not pass the course because of several missed afternoons at home with Mrs. Greedo, but that's another story. He was given the close range job as a first job.
Mm-hmm. And that was the day he missed, right? The first range day?
That was his demise. That was the day he missed. And finding himself sitting innocently in a small booth on Tatooine, sitting next to a rather elegantly dressed man, mm-hmm. Who he knew as Han Solo, inadvertently finding himself at the other end of a gun. He would have shot Han had he been given the opportunity, but unfortunately, the space cowboy shot him first.
That's right. You heard it here, folks. Greedo himself, Han shot first.
Indeed, he did. I've got the T-shirt anyway, so it must be true.
So you are in defense of Greedo that even though he would have shot first, Han did take the first shot.
Absolutely. I mean, I know he was an inept assassin, right, but we were sitting this close. We're very close, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. This very nice young man is only sitting about 4 inches away from me, so...
And have you enjoyed being at this con, at ICON?
Oh, yeah, it's been terrific. I know everybody always says that, but it genuinely has. We've had a really, really fantastic time, and everybody's looked after us so well, and all the New Yorkers have been New Yorkers.
Have you been at ICON before? I know you've done conventions, but have you done this one?
No. This is my first ICON, and I loved it because there's a huge young population here and loads of students, mm-hmm. So it's great to come where there's several generations of people who've seen the movie, so we get a great cross-palette of people, so it's been really wonderful.
Excellent. So what would you say is your favorite thing about having been at this convention?
This convention, the food, definitely. it's just, I think the fans have been charming, but I, at the risk of sounding smarmy and cliche, the Star Wars fans are always pretty nice. You do get the odd one who tries to shoot you, but apart from that, most Star Wars fans are genuinely interested in you and genuinely interested in what you've got to say. However dull some of the actors can be, I can't mention any names, but... Jeremy Bullock, for instance. Not that I'd ever cast any aspersions about his character, Boba Fett.
It's kind of dangerous to... I would say Boba Fett's a dangerous guy to talk smack about. I would watch your back. And he's sitting right next to you.
He is sitting right next to me, but then any man who dresses as badly as Boba Fett... I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you've only got to look at his costume. to see that that's a man who doesn't care about his personal appearance. Whereas if you look at Greedo, ladies and gentlemen, during Greedo's sequence, he's fresh-faced. He has a marvellously smart jerkin on, which incidentally he wears at discos as well. So I think comparing Greedo to Boba Fett as a sartorially dressed assassin, there's absolutely no comparison.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad for your insight on who shot first and to learn how you actually feel about Boba Fett.
Well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. So you now know, even though George, I'm sure, will be saying something completely different. I am, incidentally, still taking the shrapnel out of my stomach, and it's very painful, George. So just to let you know, the hospital bills have been rising over the last 35 years.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Blake. You enjoy the rest of your time here.
So there you have it. Straight from the source. Han shot first.
Yep. I mean, we already knew that, but...
Right. Well, we are...
It's nice to hear him say that.
It's, you know, it's like... Exactly. It's nice to hear him say that. You want to have your theories backed up. Otherwise, no one listens to you. So there you have it. Thank you, Paul Blake. That was a lot of fun. It was very very exciting to interview him. He is now officially the most famous person who has appeared on our podcast. Sorry, Bob Rozakis.
Yes, that's true.
He was a nice guy, though.
Yeah. No, he was a cool guy. So let's move on to Sunday. Why don't we talk about Sunday?
Good old Sunday.
I'll start us off. My favorite part of Sunday was Chuck actually ran a panel called Doing It Wrong, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Maybe not as intimate as the panel he did the night before when it was just us.
I mean, it was just us and his co-host didn't even show up.
Yeah. Chuck on Saturday night literally did a panel that was for me, Ryan, and Meyer, and Alex.
Chuck being Chuck Rozakis, who we also have interviewed on the show. Friend of the show, Chuck Rozakis. Look
friend of the
up.
Show,
good
friend
guy.
Of Ragnarok, Chuck Rozakis. So he did a panel with his wife, Rebecca, and two or three other people, and it was called Doing It Wrong, and it was basically about... It was a bitch session.
Yeah, it was a huge bitch fest.
Well, I wouldn't say huge because there were like 10 people there.
Yeah, we talked about things that suck from Ultimates 3 to Heroes to Superman Returns to the new Spider-Man reboot possibly.
Turn Off the Dark was mentioned quite a few times.
We talked about Spider-Man 3, so we basically talked about a lot of things that suck. I love complaints.
Ed loves sucking.
I do. I'm a big fan of sucking. But I thought it was interesting because we talked sort of about how, you know, why these franchises are going in certain directions and, you know, why did Spider-Man 3 suck? You know, and we all sort of know it was because they tried to do too much. And I think one of the more interesting things that we talked about that I hadn't really thought about was with all of these reboots, we're sort of harping, like, how many times are we going to kill Uncle Ben?
As many as it takes.
And, you know, how many times are Batman's parents going to die? And can you really have a movie franchise without having an origin story? You know, can you just sort of continue the franchise like James Bond style?
Start in the middle.
Well, no. What he was talking about, Myers, is that they keep telling the same story over and over again.
Because Ed brought up, I was like, well, Uncle Ben and Batman's parents are the people...
The only three characters in comics who stay
exactly.
There.
No, but yeah, no, what I mean is, like, because every time they reboot the franchise, you find out about Batman's parents. Every time they reboot Spider-Man franchise, Uncle Ben dies. And for those of us who have been following the comics or who have been following the movies, sort of like, all right, yeah, Uncle Ben's
or
dead.
Or have heard about pop culture in the last 50
right.
years.
Mm.
You know, so I'm, you know, I thought that was interesting to sort of talk about the idea that, you know, why do we keep, can we have a superhero movie without the origin story?
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting talk. I have to say, speaking of talking, my favorite thing from Sunday was a GMing panel that Ryan and I went to. That was actually pretty full. There was three veteran game masters talking to, there's probably about 20 people in there.
Yeah.
Abouts. All of them, you know, more neophyte game masters, and just sharing tips and tricks.
The people who are doing the panel have like decades of experience.
Yeah,
they've been running games since the 80s, if not the 70s.
Yeah, so they definitely know what they're talking about.
Yeah, these are the grandfathers of Game Master.
Yeah.
Was that bald guy who looks kind of like a thin David Ogden Stiers there?
No.
Okay, because he was at one of the gaming panels Meyer and I went to.
Yeah, no, he wasn't there. But the people who were there shared a lot of great tips. And I asked them, because I'm still working on writing a Call of Cthulhu scenario, so I was asking them about parsing out information to make sure the investigators get enough clues so that they actually have a chance of not dying, even though they'll probably die anyway because it's Call of Cthulhu. And they also had a lot of good... I think the biggest tip that they said is that it's okay for your players to run amok. Not necessarily run amok, but it's okay for your players to go off the rails. Like, you don't want to give them such a narrow adventure that it's literally on rails. Like, they're just going from point to point to point.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, we all know the best way to play Call of Cthulhu is to just go into the sewers without any clues whatsoever.
Yep, that's true. I survived.
Yeah, the person who made us go.
Yep, so it worked for me.
For those of you who don't know, which is everyone, I ran an original Call of Cthulhu scenario called Ars Serpentis that was basically a mystery at a college campus. And the mystery part, the part that Alex decided to circumvent, would have sort of given the investigators a better idea of what they were dealing with. As a new GM to COC and new to the genre of mystery games, because before then, most of the games I had run were, you know, strictly action. I figured it might be a good idea to just leave the end game, you know, like in Zelda, you can go right to the hardest dungeon if you want to.
Yeah.
We knew where the bad guy was. But the characters didn't have all the facts straight, you know.
Hey, I was playing my character.
Sorry.
I was playing my character. She was impetuous and just shot from the hip.
But you were pretty, I think we should get some information. No, what are we going to learn? What are we going
to
learn?
I was playing my character. You guys didn't have to come with me.
If you guys are interested in our actual plays... that AP is actually up on the RPPR community podcast, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
But anyway, what I was saying is, you know, letting the players make their own, which ties in, is letting the players make their own mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm going to try to do, you know, I just started an Eclipse Phase game, which you can listen to now, it's up there, and that's going to segue right into a short campaign, is that, you know, dangle the hook out there, give them the bait. Hopefully they'll take it so that your story gets furthered along. If not, that could be okay too. You just have to roll with it and give them something else to do.
Right.
But if they don't take that bait, you know, there's repercussions from that.
Right.
So
which I think might have been something Chuck said on our role-playing versus role-playing.
Right. And something that I said in my article from 2 weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
You know, think about if you're a GM in that situation and, you know, you come up with this plot that your characters must do and they decide not to do it, you know, well, that's just fine. Think about, well, what happens then? What happens because they're not doing this?
So, I mean, for example, like, just thinking off the top of my head, if your players fall out of a plane and land in a Scottish town and they're not allowed to leave and they keep trying to leave, you should maybe let them leave instead of throwing roadblocks up in front of them and then
right,
really mad
right,
at them when
right.
they keep trying to leave.
Because then the plot becomes about them being part of a nationwide manhunt in Scotland.
When did this episode become let's refer to each other's failed games?
They weren't failed.
Yeah, I mean, like, even though all of you guys went to your premature deaths, I'm sorry, Alex, except for you.
Thank you.
I still felt that that game went really well. I had a lot of fun running it. It seemed like you guys had a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah.
I had a cricket bat.
I mean, yeah, it would have been better if you guys had solved the scenario, but you didn't, and that's always a possibility in COC. Right.
Especially in COC.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Ryan? What was your favorite part of Sunday?
On Sunday, I had a couple of things. Basically, I went to panels all day. I was going to talk about Chuck's panel and about the GM panel. The first panel I went to was called Designing the Perfect Survival Bunker. It was hosted by an officer from the Army Corps of Engineers and some lady who didn't really seem to have much expertise at all. because everything, basically, like, for the first 10 minutes of the panel, she was up there stalling for time while she waited for the guy who knew his shit. And everything she said, someone in the audience would contradict her.
That happened a lot at ICON.
Yeah, it sounds like the panel Meyer and I went to, was it Saturday night?
Yeah.
Well,
we should tell that story, too.
Why don't we get to that when we're talking about the ratings?
We'll save that for the end. But anyway, pretty much everything this lady said, someone in the audience would tell her, no, that's a bad idea.
Wasn't it the same guy? Wasn't there, like, one dude who was just being a dick the whole time and correcting her, didn't you say?
Yeah, basically. But you could tell that he had actually thought a ridiculous amount about the topic of this panel. Like, how do you prepare for an alien invasion or a zombie outbreak?
Was it James? You know, the one who had
a zombie plan.
But like, this was actually a good plan, as opposed to a plan that
nobody
James,
knows about.
That James might come up with.
It might be a good plan.
I
don't know what the plan is.
My favorite part of that whole panel was just listening to people methodically and systematically think through all of the most absurd contingencies you can possibly conceive of.
Wow.
Because you could tell that these people were, you know, serious engineers who had devoted some serious brain power to this problem, even though, you know, having a fallout shelter prepared is a contingency that might actually happen. You know, there might be nuclear war, but we're probably not going to get invaded by aliens anytime soon.
Were any of them as badass as Robert Hawkins?
They did talk a lot about having toilet paper. Because you want to have enough toilet paper in the event of the apocalypse. The guy from the Army Corps of Engineers was kind of like a happy-go-lucky Midwesterner.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't doubt that he knew like at least 10 ways to kill a man with his bare hands.
So he was like Robert Hawkins.
No, he wasn't serious at all.
Oh.
He was very, very much like a happy, bubbly guy who was...
So he was a happy, bubbly version of Robert Hawkins.
Ed, get off your Robert Hawkins boner. He doesn't exist.
Aww.
Yeah, and he was nothing like Robert Hawkins. He was a very pale, white guy. I also was going to talk about the GM workshop. We had a really great discussion about, I think my favorite bit was how to create an immersive gaming atmosphere. You know, the one woman who was up there talked about, you know, playing music and making story appropriate foods. And I thought, you know, well, that's an interesting way to add flavor to your game.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, gave a really interesting tip was that if you want to add a little bit of drama to any situation.
Oh yeah, that was a good tip.
Just tell people, okay, you have a minute to get at least 10 successful rolls.
Yeah.
It was just something that he did to spice things up a bit. And he said by the end of that minute people were standing up, which is, you know, when people start to stand up at the table, you know that you've got them hooked. And saying, come on, come on, and, you know, counting down the seconds.
Yeah.
And just a very, very interesting, you know, idea for adding a little bit of real drama to a game.
Cool.
And I also liked Chuck's panels.
Yeah, Chuck's panels were good.
Doing It Wrong was awesome, and I also liked the one that followed, which was Breaking Into the Business.
Yeah.
Which I think Meyer is going to talk a little bit more about.
So, am I?
Speaking of Meyer.
I was.
Meyer, tell us all about Breaking Into the Business.
Breaking Bad Into the Business?
No, about Breaking Into the comics business, not the drug business. Meyer and I failed terribly when we tried to do that.
Well, when you try to break into the drug business, first you gotta buy an RV.
Comic business.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my mistake. Sorry.
Just ignore
everything he said about recreational vehicles, folks.
Meyer and I do not have a meth lab and a recreational vehicle operated
in the
ABQ.
No, it's in your basement, Ed, isn't it?
No, Alex.
Oh. No. It's not.
Well, there was a... See, Chuck ran a panel about breaking into the business of comics. And it's a subject that, It's near and dear to my heart. Because
you
I
don't
like...
have a heart.
It's near and dear to where my heart would be.
If he indeed had a heart.
And, because I like comics, and I want to be in the comic business. And, the panel, made me depressed on how hard it was is to get into the comic.
Yeah.
It was a little discouraging.
I think one of their big conclusions was that you have to know someone in order to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
It was basically, you're screwed.
He also said don't bother a couple of times. Not Chuck, the other guy.
Yeah, one of the guys there was an artist, and I think he was, he was in the comic business, sort of like a self-publisher almost.
Yeah.
And he was saying it's really tough, yeah. But you know Bob Rozakis.
Oh.
He could put in a good word for
it.
Oh,
man, I'm good. I got the end.
Didn't Bob say he doesn't really have too much connection?
Stop crushing his dreams, Ed.
Sorry.
But it was a good panel, and it taught me a lot.
How to cry yourself to sleep at night?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't sleep because I kept thinking about the lollipop guy.
That's true.
You want my lollipop?
Want to lick my lollipop?
Yeah, no, that guy haunted us for the whole week.
Yeah.
And he's haunting this episode, too.
Unfortunately.
We just keep coming back to him.
I hope you're listening, Lollipop Guy.
I hope he's not, because then he'll know who we are.
But, it seemed like the main thrust was, you have to, pretty much know somebody. It's all about the networking.
These days, right, yeah. Right. Unless you're going to put your stuff up on the internet for free.
Right.
And not be afraid to not be recognized for a while.
I think one of the cool points that Chuck had made at several panels I was at of his was that comic book artists and writers should consider for example, he talked about goats and what's that other one?
Diesel Sweeties?
Yeah. How they put their stuff up for free and then they release the book.
Right, and that's where they make their money.
And they sell the book. And basically, something he was talking about at several of his panels was the difference between readers and book lovers. And, because of the age we're going into, reading is easy. You really can find books anywhere for free or cheap and read them. But people who want to buy books are still going to buy books. And, as something to sort of memorialize the fact that I read this.
To have something physical to own and hold.
I own most of the Goats books, and I will own them all by the time I get the Kickstarter.
Right, so that's it. You read the Goats books online, and then they sold you the book because you want to own something,
And well, he said, I bought the books because I'm a fan, and I wanted to support him because he has babies to feed.
Or that, but basically he was talking that that's really the only way to monetize, from the ground up, is to sort of put your stuff up for free, get a fan base, and then be like, oh, by the way, here are these books.
If you want to buy them.
Well, a lot of webcomic artists make their money through merch.
Right.
That's what they do.
But if you're the guy from Twilight Zone, and you like books, and then your glasses break, and you can't read books anymore, it could be very sick.
It's not fair. I had time now.
That's the only time when buying a book, being a book lover, is a bad thing.
Speaking of time, I think we should take a little time out. And then we could come back and talk about, raiding this con out of glorious deaths and battle.
Yes.
Excellent idea.
And we have a song from someone that we met at the con.
A song?
Ed, why don't you go ahead and introduce that?
This is a song. It's called Axe Cop the Song. It's by a gentleman named Rhythm Bastard, who we met at Icon. This is the Ragnarok debut of Rhythm Bastard.
Is this
Axe Cop the Song?
Is this based on a comic, Axe Cop?
Yes, it is.
That's a good comic.
Yeah.
This is a good comic.
Right, so
I hope it's a good song.
We'll be right back after this.
Once upon a time, there was a cop standing outside the grocery shop. Sunglasses on and a cool mustache. Came upon a fireman's axe.
It was absolutely perfect in every way. And that's about the time when he became Axe Cop. That's what I said. Axe Cop. Bad guys will be dead when he has his axe out. You better not scoff, or Axe Cop will chop your head right off. He went to volcanoes looking to fight. He fought the dino gangs with all his might. But he needed some help so the war would stop. So we held some trials and found Fluke Cop. They went back to the volcanoes and saved the day. And everyone shouted him hip hooray for Axe Cop. That's what I said. Axe Cop. Bad guys will be dead when he has his axe out. You better not scoff, or Axe Cop will chop your head right off. Some blood got on Fluke Cop and his skin began to smolder. But it's alright now, he's dinosaur soldier. And Axe Cop upholds the American dream with his super cool awesome fighting team. Ralph, Winkle, Soccer, and Wexter, Uniman, all more awesome than the Sith, cause they fight the bad guys with Axe Cop. That's what I said, Axe Cop. Bad guys will be dead when he has his axe out. You better not scoff, or Axe Cop will chop your head right off. Cause he's here to save the day and he'll never stop. So you better be thankful for Axe Cop, Axe Cop.
And that was Axe Cop the song. If you want to hear more by Rhythm Bastard, you could go check out rbexperiment.blogspot.com. We have that right on our Friends of Ragnarok page, menu bar. And Ryan's going to throw it up in the show notes.
Yep. So
Ryan's
look for that there.
Into the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. So thank you, Rhythm Bastard. That was a lot of fun.
All right.
So as you know, last time when we reviewed Comic-Con, we gave it a rating system. Now at Ragnarok, we don't do a thumbs up or stars. We do a very special to Ragnarok rating system, and we rate it by glorious deaths in battle.
Why don't we rate about by Meyer Boner?
Because that's gross.
Yeah.
And there's only one person who likes your Meyer Boner besides you.
I
know he's listening right now. But that's
hello, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hey. I want everyone to like my boner.
I know you do.
Also,
it's just you and Robert.
Yeah.
If you like Meyer's Meyer boner, please, you can send us an email or comment
or
about
something.
It.
Yeah. But the reason I don't want to talk about Meyer boners in a rating system is because there's no way I'm saying five Meyer boners.
One Meyer boner.
No, it's either flaccid or erect. Erect is 5 out of 5.
Well, that's not a very robust rating system, is it?
It goes from any.
So what's in between flaccid and erect? How would you?
Half hard?
Yeah.
All right, I would give that a
semi.
Chubby.
Yeah. Give that a
half chub. A
half chub. You already got the rating system down.
All right, please, let's talk about something else, like the wait times at ICON.
Yeah, I would give the wait times 5 out of 5 glorious deaths in battle, because I didn't wait for a single thing.
As would I. Like I said, we walked into the Nana visitor panel. There wasn't even a line to get in, first off.
Yeah, I also gave it 5 out of 5 glorious deaths in battle for that very reason.
I gave it 4 out of 5, because even though we didn't wait on the lines...
Because we're press... And we're cool. Thanks, ICON, for hooking us up.
Thanks, Ernie.
We definitely saw a long line.
Yeah, I mean, there was a line to get in, but it definitely wasn't nearly as bad as Comic-Con.
And there were some lines in the food court.
I took 1 point off. 4 out of 5.
Not nearly as bad as Comic-Con.
No.
It was. This was so much better.
As far as the usefulness of staff, I would go with 4 out of 5. They were definitely more competent than the volunteers at Comic-Con, who...
But they were also under less pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole different level of crowd control.
Yeah.
And they seemed to know their stuff, but, you know, I couldn't say that there was a volunteer who, you know, went out of their way to help me or anything, so...
Yeah. I mean, I gave them a 3 because I didn't really have too much interaction with them, but... You know, they weren't particularly helpful, but they weren't unhelpful either.
I gave,
so, average.
Yeah, I gave him 3. Because volunteers are either, you know, 50-50. Either they're there to help the convention, or they're there just to get in for free.
Right.
I think most of the volunteers for ICON were just to get in for free.
Yeah.
Somebody thought we were volunteers.
We were standing at the stairs. I'm like, hey, how long are you standing here? And I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, we're not volunteers. We're just standing by a stair. And then there's that person who kept thinking your badge was a fake.
Yeah, well, because the press passes weren't colored. They were just black and white. And our names were written in. I went into one of the game rooms, and this guy, like, spent a minute looking at my pass because he thought it was fake. And I kept telling him it wasn't fake.
Yeah.
And eventually I was like, look, I'll call up the press guy if you want, and he can tell you. But it's, you know, I understand why you think that, but it wasn't fake.
So, I gave him 3.
I did 4, too. I mean, I didn't have much interaction with them, you know, but, like, they seemed to know where shit was, and, you know, they were friendly, and they were there,
yeah.
You know.
Well,
they
okay.
were no lines, so, I mean, I don't know if they helped contribute to the lack of lines and the lack of waiting, but
yeah.
they did a good job.
I think if the volunteers were at FACHICON were the same as Comic-Con, it would be the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, probably, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about quality. Quality of the panels. First.
The panels. I gave panels a 3 out of 5 Glorious Deaths in Battle because they didn't really impress me.
Yeah, I gave it 3, too.
Most of the things that I wanted to go to were actually canceled, which I guess is not really the fault of the people who ran the con. But it's, you know, it still kind of disappointed me a little bit. I went to plenty of panels that either started late or, you know, the host was missing for half
yeah.
the panel. And like I said, the one panel I went to was partially hosted by a woman who had no fucking idea what she was talking about.
Yeah, I think we all had panels like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Meyer and I, it was the Legends of... I gave it 3, too, and I think we all...
We all gave it 3, yeah.
For Meyer and I, it was the Legends of the Hidden Temple panel. It was myself, Meyer, and another 25-year-old gentleman...
Yeah.
Whose name I don't know. We were in the audience along with a bunch of people. We should have known that the panel was going south when the panel person said, the panelist said, so I left my laptop at home,
yeah.
So all of the visuals that were supposed to happen are going to be limited, and by limited I mean they're not going to happen at all.
Yeah, and then
sign.
He proceeded saying, if you were born between the age of like 1988 and 1990 something, you know
1993,
what this is.
I think it was
yeah,
88
I was,
to 93.
I was like, okay, well, that's
I'm like,
cool.
Yeah. And then they were talking about how like they were 3 when he's like, yeah. So Legend of the Hidden Temple was I was 3 when it was on. So he's like, I'm not 100% sure on all the information. So basically, like he started to like. Say incorrect things.
He looked it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would say incorrect things or like half-truths, and me, Meyer, and this other guy would like fill him. No. That was, the next room was the Haunted Forest.
Yeah. And plus, it was also, the description of the panel was how it was actually going to be like a game, like a reenactment
right,
of the game.
It was a recreation, I think, was what
no.
it was called.
It was like 2 hours of them, it was going to be 2 hours of them just talking about Legend of the Temple. I was like,
It really felt like a college lecture on Legends of like it was like we were in Legends of the Hidden Temple 101
given by a poorly informed teacher.
It was
a TA.
when the panel started, it was a big lecture hall, and I would say it wasn't full, but it was like maybe 75% full. It was pretty packed, and within 5 minutes, everyone was leaving.
I left. And I went. Where did I forget which
I left
panel
too.
I went to.
And they had Chuck
what panel
him.
Did we go? We
yeah,
went to right.
That
we
was
to
the panel that Chuck.
It was just us.
Yeah.
Right. So I left, and I was like, Meyer, do you want to come? He's like, oh, I'm gonna stick it out. So I left, and I go to another panel, and a minute later, Meyer walks in. Like
yeah.
He must have been on my heels.
But they definitely gave the impression in the schedule that was going to be a recreation of the game
yeah.
show. And I'm sure that's why so many people showed up.
Yeah. Meyer and I also had an experience
yeah.
like that on Sunday. We went, there was a Minecraft panel, which we knew it was going to be informal, sort of like a get-together to talk about Minecraft.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, why not? We weren't doing anything else. We figured we'd go.
I love Minecraft.
Yeah, this guy who was hosting it had, like, he knew Minecraft, but he had no business hosting a panel.
Yeah.
He was awkward and nervous, and he couldn't engage. It was a packed room because it was a small room.
Super packed.
But it was packed because it was Minecraft. And this guy just had no business hosting a panel. He wasn't addressing the audience. He was, like, talking to one person. Meyer and I, it started, like, 5 minutes late. Meyer and I were there for 10 minutes total. And we just got up. We had to walk across the entire front of the room to leave, but we did it.
He came into the panel, the room. He goes, "Oh, man, I didn't know there's so much people going to be here. My last panel only had 15 people.
This is awesome.
It's gonna be great."
The same thing happened at the dramatic reading panel, the Harry Potter fan fiction panel.
Well, that panel was actually good.
Well, no, that was a good panel.
No, that panel had too many people.
Mm.
Like, I thought it was a good panel. I just thought that they, like, it was good because of the content. I felt like the people who were running it didn't completely know what they were doing.
Yeah.
No, but they were better than this guy, than Maya, that little tip, Head Legend, the Hidden Temple guy.
What about our guests?
I mean, I think we all agreed on this, too. We all gave the guests a 3.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I want to say off the bat, it's not because the guests who were there were bad. Nana Visitor was great. I didn't get to meet Paul McGann, but, like, the Nana Visitor was great, and from what I've heard, Paul McGann was great, too. I gave them a 3 because they were all, like, C-list celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, their big guests were
Nana Visitor
and Paul
McGann.
Were
the headliners.
Right.
Yeah.
But to be fair, it's what I expect from a small convention.
Right? Well, yeah, it's a smaller convention.
I will say that in terms of, like I was saying before, approachability and, you know, just being like, I got to talk to Greedo, that was awesome. You know, that certainly wouldn't have happened at Comic-Con. So
right.
I think that in terms of approachability, I liked the guests more. But in terms of, like, big names and exciting names,
yeah.
I would say, you know, it was 3.
And Comic-Con, Icon has certainly had more exciting names on their list in years past.
Yeah, so I think 3 is fair.
The dealer floor. I gave it 4 out of 5 glorious deaths in battle. I thought they had a lot of great stuff up for display. A lot of really cool artisans showcasing their wares.
I mean, I agree with you, but I gave it 3 because there was only like 3 types of booths there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone was selling the same things. Like, there was 3 different people selling leather clothes and 3 different steampunk booths. Like,
yeah, there was a lot of.
There was a bunch of steampunk booths. There was, you know, a bunch of like generic sci-fi booths. There was a video game booth.
I really like the fact that they brought. I mean, these are all local people too.
Yeah,
and it's great. It's great that all these local Long Island businesses are getting their chance to come together and showcase their wares, but they're all selling the same thing, and I didn't want to buy any of it because I didn't give a crap. And you know, so I mean, they were good for what they were, but a little more diversity would have definitely appealed to me.
I gave it 3 as well, and that's my thing was I've been to plenty of Icons before this, and it seemed like, I don't know, this year the show floor seemed lacking, I guess, for some reason. It seemed like all these other years that it was more booths at the convention.
Yeah, they definitely had a lot of empty space, like in the back of the athletic center.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see a couple of more artists, because I remember when I went to Comic-Con a few years ago, the floor was chock full of the floor was chock full of independent artists, you know, new artists and new comic book artists. And there was only like 3 or 4 that I remembered seeing this year.
I didn't see any comic artists.
There were a couple.
I mean, I guess part of that could be the economy, that maybe there just aren't as many of these small businesses and artists around anymore, which is really a shame.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that next year they can maybe get a few more people. I mean, I don't know what they would have to do if it was, you know, they just didn't invite them or the people declined to show or they just weren't around anymore.
The other thing, from what I understand, and this could have something to do with it, just because we sort of have an inside with Chuck, man running the comic track, the comic bit of Icon, was he did not come back this year. So the man who took over was also doing another job and sort of let the comic track fall to the wayside. So a lot of the comic panels, that's why there weren't as many comic panels, and, you know, people sort of were making, like, Chuck sort of just sat in on a bunch of comic panels because there were no guests, you know, things like that. So that could have been another reason that a lot of comic guests weren't there, was because the comic track wasn't being run.
That's true. All right, so let's wrap this one up. Overall, what would we rate this convention?
I gave it 4 out of 5 glorious deaths in battle.
As did I.
I gave it 3.
And I give it 4 out of 5 glorious deaths in battle.
All right.
I feel like Meyer gave it 3 because Meyer goes to a lot of icons.
Yeah.
And I haven't been in a couple of years. This was Alex's first time.
Yeah.
And
right.
Ed also hasn't been in a few years. So I think Meyer has more to compare this
yeah.
to.
Yeah, Meyer has more of a base to compare it to.
I guess Meyer's our expert.
Also, I'm kind of a harsh critic, I found, too. when I was in high school in time, there was a project we had to do. I think we had to memorize a couple lines from Shakespeare and then present to a class. And then the thing was, we had to rate all the students about it. And then one of the students were passing it up. Vulcan was like, "Man, you're a harsh critic." And I didn't know. I was like, "Oh, I guess I don't know."
That's Meyer's style of comedy. He doesn't like things.
Yep.
I'm a harsh critic.
But what we do like is we're going to take a break and show you some interviews that I did.
Actually, we're not going to show them anything.
We're going to play for you some interviews that I did on the show floor right after we listen to a little music from, we mentioned him earlier, the Celt Father.
Yep.
Otherwise known as Mark Gunn. It's a great song called A Drop of Vulcan Blood. It's a drinking song about Vulcan blood.
Awesome.
Alright, so
green.
Yep.
We'll listen to the Celt Father and then we'll
Vulcan
listen to some
green.
Interviews.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Alright.
A drop of Vulcan blood wouldn't do us any harm. A drop of Vulcan blood wouldn't do us any harm. A drop of Vulcan blood wouldn't do us any harm. And we'll all hang on behind. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. A nice plate of gawk wouldn't do us any harm. A nice plate of gawk wouldn't do us any harm. A nice plate of gawk wouldn't do us any harm. We'll all hang on behind. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. Some Romulan ale wouldn't do us any harm. Some Romulan ale wouldn't do us any harm. Some Romulan ale did me harm last night. What a hangover. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. An Orion slave girl wouldn't do me any harm. An Orion slave girl wouldn't do me any harm. An Orion slave girl can do whatever harm she wants. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. A nice red shirt wouldn't do us any harm. A nice red shirt wouldn't do us any harm. A nice red shirt wouldn't. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. An order from Kirk wouldn't do us any harm. An order from Kirk wouldn't do us any harm. An order from Kirk wouldn't do us any harm. Unless we're wearing a red shirt. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. Some trouble with tribbles wouldn't do us any harm. Some trouble with tribbles wouldn't do us any harm. Some trouble with tribbles wouldn't do us any harm. Oh, they're so cute. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. 7 of 9 wouldn't do us any harm. 7 of 9 wouldn't do us any harm. 7 of 9 wouldn't do us any harm. But God, I wish she would. Me too. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. A little time travel wouldn't do us any harm. A little time travel wouldn't do us any harm. A little time travel wouldn't do us any harm. But it might give the franchise a reboot. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. If the border in the way, we'll roll right over them. If the border in the way, we'll roll right over them. If the border in the way, we'll roll right over them. And we'll all hang on behind. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. We'll roll the old Enterprise along. And we'll all hang on behind.
All right, so I am standing here with a very special guest. Could you please introduce yourself?
My name is the Fourth Doctor.
The Fourth Doctor, not to be confused with the Third Doctor, correct?
That is correct. Also not to be confused with the other Fourth Doctor.
I am the other Fourth Doctor.
So this seems to be a bit of a temporal paradox. Why are the Time Lords allowing two Fourth Doctors to be in the same place at the same time?
Budget cutbacks. You've got to be more productive in less time.
Excellent. Do you both have your own individual TARDISes, or do you share one?
We call them TARDI. We share them.
I apologize. TARDI. So, if you could just tell it, because this is audio, obviously, so if you could just tell us what your names are.
I'm Luigi. I'm Mario.
It's-a me, Mario.
Waluigi.
All right, so you've decided to have a one-day truce because people, you know, just to bring joy to the world. Is that the deal?
Yes, I am getting paid many coins to appear here. I get paid appearances.
So this is a humanitarian effort for Luigi, and for Wario, this is more of a greedy.
Yes.
He's getting paid in pasta.
All right. So I am standing here with. Please tell me what your name is, sir.
My name's Steve Mann.
It's nice to meet you. And can you tell me a little bit about your costume?
That's a Space 1889 costume. I'm visualizing something that was in a role-playing game that one of my players years ago.
All right. And what role-playing game was that?
Space 1889.
So I'm being interviewed on a show while I'm interviewing somebody on another show.
We are the Bedtime Brothers. I am Brandon.
And I'm Neil, and you can check out our improv and sketch comedy at www.bedtimebrothers.com.
And so thank you very much, Bedtime Brothers. Are you enjoying the con?
It is the best con I've ever been to in my life.
His last name is Khan.
Well, that's very lucky then.
It is.
Khan at the con. Hi, I'm standing here with three very special guests. Can you please introduce yourselves?
I'm Poison Ivy.
I'm the Caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
I'm Fluttershy.
And can I ask you guys, what are you doing here together? Because you are not from the same world, as far as I understand it.
We all just sort of cosplayed things we had, and then we're hanging out.
So you guys just sort of, you're just friends? So I've been expecting to see something like this, because I've seen versions of the Doctor all over the place. So I'm guessing there's some sort of paradox going on, and that's why you've got the fez and the long scarf. Like, you're
and
some sort of...
And if we actually check... I have a completely inconsistent sonic screwdriver with me. This is a time crash.
So basically, because we have all these doctors in one location,
there's most certainly a time paradox going on because there's so many doctors at one time. Right. Something like this was bound to happen.
So I also want to know, do you know what ICON stands for?
ICON stands for enjoyment.
I really have no idea whatsoever.
I don't know. International Convention for Italians everywhere.
I'm not sure.
Not the alphabet.
I'm not sure those are the right letters. And what does ICON stand for?
I have no idea.
International Cookie on 9.
I think that's exactly right. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is.
ICON stands for convention, but the I, and I've been coming here for many, many years... I don't even remember what the I stands for.
And my last question is, what is your favorite thing about Ragnarok?
I don't know what that means.
I'm stumped.
I don't know the answer.
Ragnarok?
The name. The name!
About who?
Ragnarok.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
About what?
About, what was it again?
Can you repeat that?
And my last question for you is, what's your favorite thing about Ragnarok?
Cheese!
Cheese, of course.
This sounds like some Dalek plan.
I think that's probably right. My last question for you, what is your favorite thing about Ragnarok?
I would say that, quite frankly, it's the individuals behind it who have a lot of integrity and, quite frankly, you know, are just totally whacked in the head. And, you know, that's what makes that fun.
All right, well, thank you very much. You enjoy the rest of your con.
So there we go. We got to hear what all those folks thought about Ragnarok, and
that was great.
That was great.
That was fantastic.
Quality family entertainment.
Nobody really knew what ICON stands for.
Mm.
Well, that's because they're not endocrinologists.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what ICON stands for?
I really
Not the endocrinology one.
I mean, I would assume it stands for Island Convention, but then I don't know why they wouldn't call it, like, LICON.
I don't know. If you know, please post and tell us.
If you're some sort of ICON historian.
If you were there at ICON 1.
Wow.
So, this was episode 21, ICON 31.
ICON was fun. I enjoyed myself.
Migratory Patterns of the Local Nerd.
The way they flock is really just, it's incredible.
I actually managed to tag one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he fought me, but I got that tag on.
You following it?
What?
You're following it now?
Yes, yes.
Did you notice how they all walked around into V-shapes to help part the air and crowds? It was quite impressive. True. It was quite something.
Can I come with you, Ryan, during mating season to see what happens?
I don't think anything's going to happen.
Well, I think part of that problem is, Ryan, is that a lot of the local nerds tend to, their mating call is the sound of dice rattling together in hands. And that really isn't just, it's not attractive to the females of the species.
No, yeah. It is definitely hard to find a mate.
Yes.
Well, hopefully we'll do a future episode, and we'll report on what Ryan has found from his tagged
nerd.
So if you, we hope you enjoyed this episode and our coverage of ICON 31. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. You could also follow us on Twitter if you're not already doing so. As always, you can find our podcast on our website, or you could subscribe to us on iTunes. Our website, of course, is www.ragnardrock.com. We just started doing our weekly, our daily posts again, so please come and check out our posts, because we have been working really hard on those.
Yeah, comment on those. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah. And we did mention in a previous episode that if we got any 5-star reviews on iTunes, we would read them aloud. This is a really jam-packed episode, but we did get a 5-star review, and thank you very much, and we will be reading that in a future episode.
Yes, absolutely. Also, we've read a couple of emails on air, so if you send us an email, it might end up on the air. Who knows?
Yeah, and we can play your voicemail.
Yeah, you can leave us a voicemail. Call 516-362-6373. That's 516-362-NERD.
And the email address, of course, is info@ragnardrock.com.
And before we go, I just want to say fuck you, Twizzle.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. You got an undeserved shout-out.
Now we can commence Twizzle beratement.
And Reno hates ponies, so screw you, Twizzle.
And you deserve every bad thing that happens to you in your life. And the next time something goes wrong, I want you to take a second and remember that it's because you never earned the shout-out you received on Ragnarok, and that's your karma coming around to kick you in the ass, you twat.
It's been like 2 months.
Wow.
So at least 2 months that he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, because he's a lazy shit.
Some serious.
So get your act together, Twizzle.
Alex, you know what? I have an idea. We're going to calm Alex down. We're going to calm our entire audience down. Let's have a nice lullaby. Mark Gunn.
No, I don't want a lullaby.
Come on, Mark Gunn.
I want to fuck Twizzle in the ass with a
nice,
knife.
Calm.
Whoa.
Okay. So, as soon as we sign off, Mark is going to take it away and sing us this really beautiful lullaby that he wrote for his newborn daughter.
I just want to say, Ed, it is possible that my rage could affect the content of the sweet and loving lullaby.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, so this is episode 21. Thank you. My name is Ed.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Meyer.
We'll
take it away,
see
Mark.
You next time.
Take it away, Eric the Auctioneer.
Close your eyes and sleep. Her demons in your dream. Go to sleep, my darling. There's a demon underneath your bed. The demons in your bed are gonna eat you up. Stay in your bed. There are landmines on the floor. The demons in your bed are gonna eat you up. Sugar and spice and everything nice. Why do you think we say that? So the demons in your bed will want to eat you up. He used to have a sister. She wouldn't go to sleep. So the demons in her bed ate her up. Do not call for your mother. Who is it that you think who let the demons in to eat you up? Snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. Who can account for the taste of demons? The demons in your bed are gonna eat you up. Baby, don't you cry, or the demons won't wait till you fall asleep before they eat you up. My father sang this song to me, but he slipped and he fell on a landmine, and the demons underneath my bed ate him up. That is not a blanket. Good night.